Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 333. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is not with me at the moment. And you may say, well, John Morgan, why are you even with me at the moment? It makes no sense. I know that for the last 332 consecutive weeks, we have sat down on a Thursday night and recorded the podcast to be released late Thursday night or early Friday morning. And you, kind listener, are 100% correct. But you know we take pride in that streak. We're not breaking the streak. But we had to make a little bit of an adjustment this week because, you know, this is a busy week of MMA. This is the type of week of MMA where you got to make sure you have a dual screen setup, right? Because you're going to have two massive events going on at the same time. And that, of course, would be CFFC 99 and Lingerie Fighting Championships all going down at the same time on Saturday. No. The big events are going in on Friday, of course. That is with Bellator and the PFL, and we'll talk about those events in just a moment. But Cold Coffee and I will both be working on Saturday night. And you may say, well, what does that have to do with why you're recording a podcast on a Tuesday? Well, that also is an excellent question. The thing is, I will say, I think Cold Coffee's getting a better assignment here. He is going out to the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, where I think they're expecting some 750,000 people. I didn't research that number, but that's the number I heard floated out there. Now, if that's right, my God, what a scene that's going to be. But Lingerie Fighting Championships is doing three events in three nights. Three pay-per-views all in a row. All for one price, though. If you want to check them out, I think you only have to pay one price. And I was supposed to be a part of that as well. Cold Coffee and I were taking off, going out there this week and going to do commentary for our good friends over at Lingerie Fighting Championships. But a shuffle in the schedule happened. Now, originally there was supposed to be a UFC event this week, but, you know, the UFC's been kind of rearranging some things and all that, so they elected to drop the UFC event, which I thought, honestly, was just great. We had already asked for the week off. Fantastic. We're going to go to this. We're going to go hang out out in Sturgis and, you know, potentially drink a frosty beverage or two while we're out there. But CFFC, my good friends over at Cage Fury Fight Championships, because the UFC wasn't hosting an event, the UFC Fight Pass folks came to CFFC and said, hey, would you like to do a show on August 14th? And they said, well, heck yeah, we'll do a show on August 14th. But at that time, it became necessary for me to go head over there and work with my man CM Punk for CFFC 99, which would be out at the Fitz Tunica, which is just outside of Memphis. And I'll be on the call on that on Saturday night. So you're following along with everything, but now you're still saying, but John, that still doesn't have anything to do with what's going on with why you're recording so early in the week. Well, here's what it boils down to. We thought it would be a heck of a lot of fun to record the podcast out of Sturgis, right? And it would be fun, of course. I mean, whatever happened, listen, Cold Coffee's coming back with some stories. There's just no doubt about it. Cold Coffee is coming back with some stories. And had I been out there as well, I'm sure I'd have some stories as well. And we definitely would have done it over some frosty beverages. Unfortunately, once it became clear that we were going to be in different places on Thursday, then it became kind of confusing as to, well, what kind of internet connection are we going to have? Are we going to be able to sync up and do any kind of a podcast? You know, are we going to be able, you know, we've got it down now where we can do it on video cameras, basically, which we've been kind of working towards that. And we've got a system that works, gives us good, clean audio, syncs up everything pretty well. But obviously that's not going to work out there in Sturgis, depending on what the internet connection is like. And Cold Coffee wouldn't have all of his gear. So then we think, well, we might be able to just do audio. I mean, that's fine. We've done enough shows together. I think we could fake it. You know, if we can't see each other, we kind of get the rhythm of the voice. You know, you kind of get to learn. You can tell when the thought's trailing off or whatever. So we'd probably be okay. But then it became a situation of, again, coming down to internet. What if I can't get the audio files to him? Well, you know, just so many variables and question marks and concerns and worries. And you can't let the streak come to it. Now, a lesser show would just say, you know what? It's just, we can't do it. Logistics made it difficult. We couldn't do it. But you know, we wouldn't do that to you. The MMA Roadshow, no, absolutely not. We'll not do that to you. And Cold Coffee said, well, why don't we do things earlier in the week and we'll get everything done. And that way we still have a show, but we don't have to worry so much about, you know, screwing things up or not being able to get a recording done or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I heeded that advice. And that's why I'm here for you right now. Cold Coffee, meanwhile, is finishing up some work over at MMA Junkie, starting to pack things up, get everything ready to head on out to Sturgis tomorrow. I'm actually going to take a couple days off as well to get my prep work done for CFFC 99, and I'll tell you some more about that event here in a little bit, and then I'll fly out later this week. But anyway, we'll be wishing Cold Coffee good luck in his basically his play-by-play debut, right? Because he's been doing color commentary. Him and I have done a bunch of these shows together. And I kind of do lead play-by-play, and he does color commentary on it. This time with me out, he's going to take over the play-by-play roles. I know he's a little bit nervous. I think he'll do an absolutely fantastic job. You know, we have fun. It's not quite as buttoned up. You know what I mean? We have fun over there. So if you want to check out Cold Coffee making his play-by-play debut, LingerieFC.com, LFC 32, 33, and 34 will be taking place Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week out there in Sturgis. And you can buy them all for one low price. All right. Meanwhile, in the more traditional world of MMA, it is a busy weekend this weekend. It ended up being dual events, both on Friday night. 2021 PFL Playoffs 1 is going up against Bellator 264 as well. Both of those on Friday night. Of course, PFL on ESPN2 and ESPN+. Bellator 264 on Showtime, and then we'll also carry a stream of the prelims on MMA Junkie as well. Now, we'll have on-site coverage from both events, which is fantastic. You know, Danny Segura is living out in Florida now. He moved out there kind of during the pandemic. You know, if you don't know, he was in New York for a long time, and then decided to make the move down to Florida. I think he's got some relatives down there, and I think it's part of the reason to move. And then also, you know, New York was a tough place to be for a while in the pandemic, and I think he just wanted to get out of there. And then he got down there and was like, you know, this weather's kind of nice. I kind of like it down here. And it's worked out great because, you know, Florida's been hosting a lot of shows. You know, we've seen some of the boxing events and that have been done down there. And now, of course, the PFL playoffs are going to be there as well. So anyway, Danny's been able to stay pretty busy out there in covering some events. I didn't drag him in for a preview of the 2021 PFL playoffs because it is early in the week. Fight week hasn't started yet, so he hasn't really done all of his research and his interviews and all that good stuff yet, you know. So I figured I'd let him off the hook, let him get settled in there. But we'll have Danny on here again in another fashion. You know, maybe even as soon as next week for the second round of the playoffs when we're back to our normal Thursday night record. So it is a big one. Main event, Ray Cooper III versus Rory McDonald in the main event. They like to say that we don't have a main card and we don't have a preliminary card because every fight matters. And it does. It's a good concept. It does. I always like the PFL regular season events because of that exactly. Like, you know, every fight is factoring into the standings or what have you. So I really do like them. This one, of course, though, I think once the playoffs start, it really is a main card and a preliminary card because, you know, your preliminary card is a lot of playoff bouts, right? You know, they still want to keep things, keep content going and give you something else to watch. And obviously they want to keep the fighters fighting, even if they're not competing for that $1 million prize. And listen, there are some interesting fights on there. You know, on the prelims, I should say, Curtis Milner and Gleison Tibau, a couple of veteran names there, obviously, clash of styles as well. Obviously, Tibau's getting up there in age a little bit, got some miles on the body. You got to think, you know, Curtis Milner is a younger, fresher fighter, is going to have the athletic edge there, but Tibau will certainly have the grappling edge, and Curtis Milner's just got to stay on the feet, and if he can do that, certainly he can win there. Another couple notables, you know, Olivier Aubin Mercier versus Daryl Horcher, a couple of veteran names there that you're familiar with also. So they're doing it in the non-playoff, I keep wanting to say non-title, but non-playoff prelims, I guess you would say. So that'll be on the preliminary card that's on ESPN Plus starting at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. Magomed Umalatov, the undefeated import there as well. Somebody that you might want to evaluate him, keep an eye on him, see what he's about as well. But then you get into the kind of the key matchups in the playoffs. See, I keep wanting to say title fights. It's throwing me off. This is where you get into the playoffs. Ray Cooper III versus Rory McDonald. That's certainly a big fight there. And, of course, these are your one night fights. One fight in a night, I should say. Not the way they've done it the last couple of years where the first round of the playoffs is two fights in one night. This, it's only four fighters each time that made it, right? So there's only four fighters. So these are semifinals, and the winners will move on to the finals, which I believe are supposed to be in October, if I recall correctly. And listen, I think, you know, Ray Cooper III versus Roy McDonald, intriguing. Both of them with the exact same 22-7-1 record. And I guess what you're looking for here is, you know, what does Rory have left, right? Is he still Rory or not? I mean, because if he is still Rory, then he should win this fight. And he is a slight favorite according to the odds makers. But is he still that guy? Or is Ray Cooper, the hard-hitting Ray Cooper, you know, he's coming at you. He's aggressive. He's trying to knock your head off. Is he going to be able to land? Is he going to bust up that nose that continues to have some problems for Rory McDonald? We'll see. We'll see. I'm intrigued by that one. Magomed Karimov against Sadabu C, who stepped in as a late replacement. I think Magomed Karimov here is the right pick. So that one, not quite as intriguing to me. No disrespect to those fighters involved there, but I'm not seeing that one. I will say I'm intrigued by Clay Collard and Roush Manfio. Clay Collard, Cassius Clay Collard, man. I enjoy seeing his fights, and he's had a great run so far this year. You know, went and did some boxing for a while, and his continues to sharpen up that striking against Roush Manfio, who is a knockout artist as well. So that could be a good fight there. So interested to see how that one plays out also. I think I took Clay Collard now, and I think I took Ray Cooper III in my staff pick. So we'll see. So that's on Friday night. Like I said, we'll get Danny Segura involved in some of the upcoming PFL playoff events. And I think there's a possibility their finals might be here in Vegas. I've heard rumblings that could happen. So if that's the case, certainly we'll have some more coverage of the finals. And that'd be great. Love to have the finals here in Vegas. We'll see how it all plays out. Right now, Hollywood, Florida, Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. All right, so listen, I did want to bring in an MMA junkie colleague, though, in Nolan King to help break down or preview the Bellator card this week. Because obviously, as far as I'm concerned, for my money, Nolan King's probably about as knowledgeable of a Bellator reporter as there is right now. He was at every one of their Fight Sphere events. You know, being in Boston, he was able to travel to Uncasville, Connecticut, and cover it. So, I mean, he, you know, not by choice, but just by necessity and the way things worked out, essentially became a Bellator beat reporter, and he has covered the heck out of that beat. So I figured, let's bring in Nolan King, get some inside look on what's happening, what to keep an eye on at Bellator 264. So let's bring him in. All right, so the mayor of the Fight Sphere is heading back out to the Fight Sphere this week. Although Nolan, it's not the Fight Sphere anymore, right? It's just little old Mohegan Sun Arena in Uncasville, Connecticut. So I guess does that make it a more pleasurable experience for you now that I guess you're not having to follow the same protocol?
No. No, not really, but I mean, it's nice not to have the monotony, you know, to kind of go back to something that's a little more familiar. It will probably seem like less of an excursion after Los Angeles and flying across the country. It'd be kind of refreshing, you know. I won't hate the drive down there as much, just only having 2 hours of travel and being there and being able to jump right into fight week. So it's good and bad. I think, you know, like I said, just spacing it out a little bit, you know, works in my favor.
Yeah, and for anybody that doesn't know, obviously, man, you spent a lot of time in quarantine at that place. Yeah. You know, we've seen it at the UFC. I mean, the UFC is kind of backing off. Do you know, are there still, I mean, do you have any protocol for COVID stuff as a journalist anymore, or is it wide open out there?
It's pretty wide open. I mean, so basically the way that they break it down is vaccinated versus unvaccinated. So unvaccinated people, fighters, camps, people that work for promotion, they still have to follow all the same protocols that went on, you know, from the start. So testing, quarantining, not being able to go out into, you know, outside of the casino. And then for the rest of us, you know, we just have to sign something, show them our COVID vaccine card, you know, that we're vaccinated. And then, yeah, it's pretty much free after that. They still do temp checks, and you have to fill out a health form every day just saying, you know, I don't have any of these symptoms and I haven't come in contact with anyone that has COVID. Other than that, it's for the rest of us, it's a little bit of sanity. Like, we can go to you know, the bars and restaurants in Norwich down the street or New London. So it's nice. It's nice to be able to not have to eat at the same one of the same like six places, you know.
I get it, man. It's nice to be getting back to normal life, even if we're not all the way there. Well, all right, let's talk about this card, man. Bellator 264, obviously a middleweight title fight in the main event. Gegard Mousasi, you know, I mean, you know, I don't know if you would call him an all-time great, but I mean, you know, an all-time veteran. I mean, he is a stud, you know what I mean? He's fought at the highest level for a long time, still has an incredible career record. So, hell yeah, I guess maybe I am calling him an all-time great. I talked myself into it now, going up against John Salter. Talk to me about this matchup and kind of where your excitement level is for it, because, you know, listen, I think a lot of people probably aren't giving John Salter much of a chance, but I also feel like he's like one of the most significantly underrated guys on the entire roster.
Yeah, no doubt, man. You know, John Salter, I think a lot of people look at him like, oh, you know, he had a couple UFC fights, he got cut, and, you know, he's one of these wash-ups, ended up in Bellator. But no, I mean, he's had some legitimate wins for them in a division that's probably one of Bellator's weakest. I think he's done a good job of him and Tokov are the two, and Austin Vanderford as well, where you look at them and you're like, okay, these guys are pretty good. They're going to be able to, you know, challenge for a title. The problem is they have Gegard Mousasi in the division, like you said, and he's still on top of his game, man. I love Gegard, love watching him fight, love his interviews where he kind of, you know, if you start leading him down a road that he doesn't agree with, he'll just cut you off right away. Like, no. So I'm looking forward to that tomorrow, talking to him and getting cut off. But yeah, the matchup, man, I think it's legitimate. I think, you know, Gegard is an elite fighter. So maybe he'll go out there and tool Salter. But, you know, it's a good challenge, especially for Bellator, that division. I think it's the right guy.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And like I said, I mean, as far as staff picks go, my favorites, I mean, I did pick Gegard Mousasi in this one. But I don't know, man. I just feel like Salter deserves a little bit more respect. He is tough. And I mean, I guess at some point, like Musasi's body has to break down a little bit, or he has to take a step back. I mean, he has been kind of a lengthy inactivity, right? And last time he fought I hate to say a blown up welterweight, that's probably not fair enough to say, but I mean, is there any chance that any of that stuff, you know, that we catch a Gegard Mousasi that may be slipping a little bit right now?
I mean, it's quite possible. He hasn't fought for a while. This is his first fight of 2021, and everybody seems to hit that point eventually. So, you know, John Salter's up there in age two, but he seemed to get better and better and better. Gegard obviously remained at that elite level, and outside of the Rafael Lovato Jr. fight, he really has not been tested, you know, very much in Bellator. He's not struggled. So I'd like to think that Gegard's still at that elite level, man, but you never know. I mean, we've seen some steep drop offs in this sport. I mean, it's a good fight, and I just think, but I still think that Gegard's, he's going to take it to Salter on Friday night.
Yeah, I tend to think that as well. Saba Hamasi versus Andre Korchkov. Korchkov, a massive favorite according to the odds makers. I did pick Korchkov as well, but Saba, I mean, right, he comes in and bangs, right? I mean, this could be a very exciting fight. Are you leaning towards Korchkov as well? And were you surprised at all that the odds are as high as they are? Because he's a substantial favorite.
Yeah. I I'm not surprised that the odds are like that. I love the fight. I think anytime Saba Hamasi fights and it's not against somebody that's a grappler, I think it's a phenomenal matchup. I think anytime that, you know, he's fighting somebody that's not going to be afraid to strike with him, you're going to get wild exchanges like we saw in the Paul Daly fight. And Saba's a guy that, you know, I give it to him. He's a do or die fighter. He either seems to get knocked out or knock somebody out when he fights strikers. So it's nice that Korchkov's back in the mix as well. I think, you know, the pandemic made it kind of difficult for him to travel. He took a fight overseas for a Russian promotion that Bellator let him take. And so it's good to get him back in the mix, a former champion, kind of a forgotten name in that welterweight division. And I honestly, like, action wise, if you're going to watch one fight from this card, I think that would probably be the one.
Oh, that's interesting. But you're right. Actually, you know what? I think you framed that exactly right, because action-wise, you're probably right. That's one. Because I was going to say the fight that I'm probably most excited about, that might not have the same level of action, is Magomedov versus Rafion Stotts, number 3 versus number 4 in the Bellator rankings. But you're talking about impressive career records, 18-1, 15-1. I mean, this is a meaningful matchup in the division, regardless of what organization it's in, right? These are two studs. And, man, I've been high on Stotts for a long time. I'm talking about from the early prospect days. But Magomedov can be absolutely stifling, which I think is why, you know, you hit the nail on the head with maybe more action there. Maybe this won't be as action packed, but I don't think it's going to be a stalemate either. I mean, this is a big fight, right?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's elite. It's probably the most elite fight on the card. It's great matchmaking. I think both guys are really on a roll. It's one of those fights too. I mean, actually, that division, bantamweight as a whole, is really becoming when you have that discussion that people love to have about UFC versus Bellator and where Bellator fighters would stack up. I think Bantamweight probably has one of the best cases in Bellator for having elite talent, guys that could go to the UFC and have a lot of success. I mean, Rafael Stotts, like you said, he looked like he was going to be the next big thing. Dana White flew across the country to see him fight, and Dana White's looking for a fight. And then he gets spinning back fists in 8 seconds by a fighter nobody ever heard of named Rob Dvalishvili. So things work out interestingly, and Magomedov's obviously a big star over in Russia, and he's coming here. I think that the UFC might have dropped the ball a little bit on picking him up.
Yeah.
I think this is a great fight, and for people that want to compare the UFC and Bellator, this would be a very elite fight even for UFC standards.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, I think these guys would be a lot more – and that's just a damn shame. Just sometimes you don't get the respect you deserve unless you're fighting in the UFC, but these are two elite-level talents. And boy, it's funny as you say that. I mean, I think a lot of people right now are saying Bantamweight's the best division in the UFC, right? But it might just damn well be the best division in the sport right now. I mean, when you look – because you're absolutely right. The Bellator roster of Bantamweights is a bunch of monsters as well. So it might just be the deepest division in the entire sport right now, regardless of promotion.
Yeah, it's really weird how that happens, right? Like, I remember not too long ago we were starting to get excited where Bantamweight, Bantamweight, Dominic Cruz and TJ Dillashaw, some guys to fight. Like, there's John Lineker and Michael McDonald. And, you know, it was, like, exciting that there were six good contenders in the UFC. And now it's, like, right up there with lightweight in terms of depth and guys peaking at the right times. And, I mean, we talk about it all the time on Spinning Backlick and other things, how the UFC has, like, you know, all those Bantamweight contenders surging. And so I think it'll be interesting. It's interesting to see that same build in Bellator as well. And this could be very, very much be a number one contender fight, with the winner fight Sergio Pettis. So a lot on the line, I think, on Friday.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, explain to me the matchmaking here with Everett Cummings and Davion Franklin. Like, I don't think I get this one. What's the thought process here? You got a 15-0 Everett Cummings against a 3-0 Davion Franklin, who I thought you were trying to slow roll. I mean, I'm not saying that maybe Everett Cummings' record isn't exactly, maybe it's more of a boxing-esque 15-0, yes. But I don't know. This is kind of a weird one for me.
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? Because Bellator always had the MO of really building their prospects and taking this really long, slow burn where, you know, a guy that is 8-0 would be fighting somebody that was 3-3. And I get it. I get the criticism totally. But recently with their new matchmaking, it seems like they almost sometimes go the other way. Like, you had Christian Edwards, and it paid off for them recently. Christian Edwards, fighting an opponent that was like 8-1 or whatever from Ryzen. So, and he won. But at the same time, it's definitely more risky. And I think that there's a little bit of risk in here. I think there's a little bit of dependency on Bellator saying, hey, you know, kind of an undersized heavyweight with a padded record that's a little older, you know, we might be catching him at the right time. And I know some regional heavyweights here in New England had really wanted to always have them bring in Everett Cummings as the B side because they were like, hey, this guy, I've watched tape on him. He's not particularly what his record shows. So I'm thinking that that's probably the direction Bellator is going in. But there's something to be said about experience too, right? So if you got 15-0, you got 15 opportunities to go in there, test yourself. Davion Franklin is still extremely green and only takes one punch in heavyweight division. So it is weird matchmaking. I'm not totally against it. I guess, you know, I could see it really going one of two ways, and we'll just have to see how it plays out on Friday.
Interesting point you bring up with the matchmaking, right? I mean, do you feel – I mean, obviously they've had a big change behind the scenes, right? I mean, it's not something they've talked about a whole lot, but, I mean, obviously everybody realizes that Rich Chow's gone and now with Wim to Warrior, and they've – you know, if my understanding is they're kind of doing a little bit of matchmaking by committee behind the scenes. But, I mean, do you feel like there is – a shift? Have you felt it or seen it, or is that just, you know, I mean, things are always going to be a little bit differently, I guess. I mean, what's your take on that?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird crossing of the guard, in terms of, like, there's the, like you said, there is a panel of matchmakers. Some of them are experienced, kind of is assisting with some of the, during the Rich Chow era, they would assist with some of the prelims or some of the local ticket sellers, stuff like that. So they're people that have matchmaked fights before, but kind of at a lower level. And Rich, I guess, does still handle some of the bigger accounts. He still does kind of, you know, he is the guy that a lot of managers still deal with sometimes. So there's a transition period going on right now. But certainly it looks like they're trying to make it more of a merit-based promotion, have guys, try to keep the rostered guys fighting other rostered guys when they can get things to work out. The only problem with that, right, is that unlike the UFC, they don't have a pool of a zillion fighters that they can go to. And they owe these guys fights. They owe them, you know, a certain amount of fights per year, a certain amount of offers, and they still have to figure out timelines for these guys and fights that make sense for the division. So I think you're always going to have the mismatches and the kind of weird matchmaking at times just because of the logistics of it. But they're definitely moving towards trying to make the fights be more even, the lines be more even. You look at Bellator 263 a couple weeks ago, almost every single line was within a 2-to-1, you know, plus 200, minus 200 range, except for the Russians, which I guess is par for the course. But yeah, I definitely sense a change, man, and I like it. You know, maybe it doesn't translate to the casuals as much, and maybe they take a blow on ratings not having Chael Sonnen and Josh Barnett and, you know, Fedor. I guess Fedor's still on the roster, but other fighters like that. But I like it. I think they definitely are making a more of an effort to make those fair matchups.
Yeah, and listen, they have done. I mean, we're kind of getting that point. They have done such a great job of developing talent over the years and, like, kind of stockpiling prospects. And, of course, they have to invest in them really early because they've got to try to get to them before they go to the UFC. But I think they're starting to kind of reap some of the rewards of that, of really investing, you know, kind of in that talent. So outside of that, Nolan, any other fight? I mean, I know we lost a couple of fights. I'm assuming that probably had something to do with COVID. I don't know. Maybe that's irresponsible of me to say, but anytime I see something ruled out for health and safety protocols, I assume probably some COVID was in there. But you know, any other names of people that, you know, people might want to pay attention to? Because listen, the fans are going to have to be selective. You're going head to head with PFL on Friday night.
yeah, for sure. You know, it's unfortunate because I think Danny Sabatello versus Johnny Campbell would be the fight that I would answer that if you had asked me 12 hours ago. But
I agree.
That fight is off due to health and safety, which everybody knows that, like you said, probably COVID. You know, it's kind of a wink and a nod when it comes to that language. But the other one too, Pam Sorensen in the prelims, the featured prelims. She's been around for a long time. For people that don't watch Invicta, she was one of their staples throughout the years, always trying to get to the UFC or Bellator, to the big show. She finally gets that opportunity against Roberta Samad, who's coming over from PFL. So I think that for a women's featherweight fight, which we don't get to see many of these days, or many legitimate ones, I think that's probably the matchup to watch outside of the ones we discussed.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, a lot of stuff there to watch. Are you gonna try to have PFL on maybe a computer monitor?
Yeah, I might have the little browser. I listened to your episode last week with Oscar saying it was like he was getting caught watching porn. I think that's perfect. The perfect way to describe it. So I'll try to keep I guess I won't have to use a private browser, but I can just have it down in the bottom corner, so to speak.
That's fantastic. All right, brother. Yeah. Well, listen, I know you're busy, man. I know you got a lot going on, so I appreciate you carving out a few minutes. And I'll be off this week, but hopefully you guys will you'll have a great weekend of coverage. Like I said, we got you there. We got Danny Segura over at PFL, so it should be a pretty full weekend of coverage at MMA Junkie.
Yeah, for sure, John. I appreciate having me on, man. Someday we'll do this in person again. Someday.
One of these damn days. All right, brother. I'll let you go, man. Thank you for the time, bro.
Thanks, John.
Hey, before we carry on, I should say, if you like what you're listening to, make sure that you do us a favor. Wherever you listen to, make sure you logged in. Give us a little rating. Give us a little review if you can. Apple iTunes is where I listen to all my podcasts. I believe that essentially qualifies me as an old person these days. Everybody's been telling me there's all these other different apps and stuff to listen to podcasts, but I'm just old school like that. But wherever it is, rate us, review us if you can. By doing so, it helps us grow the podcast, and we certainly appreciate that. Or if you really want to take it to the next level, step on over to patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow, where for as little as $3 a month, you can support us over there. Help keep the podcast going. We certainly do appreciate the lovely little community that we've got over there. You could be like Darian, who joined us this past week, man. Thank you, Darian. Appreciate that. Of course, that does help support the show. It does give you exclusive access to the and a half episodes that we do after every UFC show, which is almost every week, except for this week, of course. But yeah, patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow. Give it a shot. If you like listening to it and you want to support us, myself and Cold Coffee. I mean, you know, if you're with us, you'd buy us a frosty beverage, wouldn't you? I know you would. Well, this is another way of doing that. Kind of helps us out. So, you know, consider it. All right, so shout out to Nolan King there. Really appreciate the time. And that's your Friday night. You got dueling MMA events, big-time MMA events. So plenty to watch there. You know, set up your dual screen action, I guess, if you want to keep up with everything. If not, just keep it to MMA Junkie. We'll have on-site coverage from both events. Now, Other than the fact that I had to leave my man Cold Coffee stranded out there in Sturgis, I am pretty excited about the fact that we'll be doing CFFC 99 on Saturday. That means we're not going up against those bigger promotions. So if you're looking for some MMA on Saturday, do us a favor. Turn into UFC Fight Pass at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Main event there, Jose Perez versus DeAndre Anderson. And listen, it's funny because this was not our original main event. I don't know how much I'm supposed to say about what we have. So our main event got signed to some other options. So we had to go with this, a non-title fight in the main event. Actually, it's been a while since we had a non-title fight in the main event, but I really like this matchup. First of all, I was really, really high on Jose Perez, man. Watching this kid so far in his career, 3-0 under the CFFC banner, all three of those finishes via submission, all three of them in the first round, and really caught my eye back in December when he was, I mean, it was CFFC 91, and he's literally like talking to his corner. Now, he was clearly better than the opponent that he was facing, but he was putting some swagger on it, man. He was calling out to his corner, asking them what move to do. He was like, just tell me what move to do, and I'll do it. And he was. And he ended up getting a finish via banana split, not something you see a whole lot of. So only the second time it had happened in CFFC history. So intriguing stuff there, to say the least. I was excited by this kid. So he's in a main event. This is a big opportunity for him. The kid has got incredible grappling skills. And so I figured, hey, why not, you know, I was talking about, kind of shining a light on some fighters that might not be getting a lot of light. I mean, I could play you some of the same interviews that you're seeing everywhere else with Bellator and with PFL as well. But I figured, you know what, let's play a little bit of these guys and see if they grow on you as much as they grow on me. So, here is, Jose Perez, who, by the way, you'll hear that I broke it to him that he'd be in the main event. He didn't know that he was going to be in the main event. Like I said, when he signed for the bout, it was the co-main event. Got bumped up to the main. So an even bigger opportunity to him than he was aware of. And, this is just one of those guys that's been doing, jiu-jitsu since he was like 9 years old, man. And the type of skills that you develop over that time. Now he's 26, undefeated in his career. And I think the kid's got some talent. So here's my conversation with Jose Perez. Pro fight number 5 in the main event, UFC Fight Pass. I mean, give me the feel right now. Is there a little added excitement for this one?
I thought it was the co-main event. I think I'm the co-main event. I'm sure that's what I am. But at least last I heard, if you're telling me I got bumped up, then great. But either way, co-main event, main event, regardless. So I'm on cloud 9. I remember at CFFC 84, I got to show my stuff against Brandon Gator. That was my very first pro fight and my first fight on the under the CFFC banner. So, I mean, that was bright lights, huge promotion, stuff I had never seen before and things I was never exposed to before. And I remember seeing fighters like Reggie Adams and Pat Sabatini on there, and I was like, man, like, it's going to take me a while to get up to that caliber, to get to that point to where I'm towards the tail end of those cards and COVID happened and all that stuff and some time has passed and now we're at the end of it and we're starting, I mean, we still have COVID going on, but we're starting to see the hind end of it and things are starting to open up and now I am on the tail end of that card and the same faces are popping back up like Reggie Adams and these guys that I used to compare myself to. So pretty cool to kind of give myself a little context, like where exactly I am.
Yeah, no question about it, man. And dude, the run's been fast too. I mean, you mentioned COVID, it's been a challenging time, but I mean, you're talking about 5 fights in a year, basically. I mean, was that the plan going in? I mean, did you want to stay this busy or how has this played out? Cause not many people are getting to fight that frequently.
100%. Yes. So the CFFC was a blessing. So I have been able to fight as often as I have. You know, they were the only ones really running in the heat. And when things were really bad in COVID, they were the ones who really kept going. They were able to keep putting on shows. So yes, getting in tune with them was a big step. And it always was the plan to try to do it fast. I've been doing martial arts and competitively, at least, for about 14, 15 years now, competitively, you know, from jiu-jitsu and wrestling and now fighting. But my MMA career is still short, so we're kind of making up for lost time, I guess. We have all the experience we needed on the mat and in martial arts in general, so now it's actually putting in the work and showing up in these fights and proving that I am exactly what I say I am.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I've been super impressed with your grappling skills. So talk to me. I mean, did you start grappling just super young and it became an immediate passion? I mean, what was your path? Because, you know, like I said, the grappling skills are very, very impressive.
Yeah, so I'm sure that's no secret. Everyone knows I probably started with the jiu-jitsu. I started in jiu-jitsu when I was 9, and I started competing at, like, just after my 10th birthday is when I started actually competing and doing these jiu-jitsu competitions. And so that's my base format. That's where everything came from. I mean, I flourished in that. I obviously, as a kid, you know, so I started at 9. Once you hit high school, everybody's going to try football and all these other little things. I was only really drawn to the combat sports. So I did the jiu-jitsu, and then I tried the wrestling. I tried the football. It didn't really stick for me whatsoever. And then later on, once I got into high school, I started trying the wrestling. But I always knew I was one of those younger guys. You know, they talk about these guys that back in the day that used to be wrestlers turned MMA fighters, or, you know, boxers turned MMA fighters, and they have these base styles. And we have these, like George St. Pierre was the prototype. I really did. I always knew that I was going to be a fighter. So I did the wrestling, not necessarily because it was my first and foremost love, but I always knew that MMA was going to be at the end of this road for me. So I knew that that was a really important facet of martial arts, and I needed to learn it.
That's awesome.
But definitely jiu-jitsu is a passion.
do you still train in a gi? I mean, do you have a belt ranking, or do you do mostly no gi?
Yes. So I do still train in a gi. So I formerly was at a gym, and we did, you know, jiu-jitsu, and we did the ranking system. We kind of went through all that together. Since then, and since I started fighting, I've then moved gyms, and I'm kind of in a more fight-based gym. I'm at Gilbert Grappling. So I'm not promoted through the belt rankings anymore. I still train in the gi every 2 days a week. I'd say we train in the gi, and I train even more in no gi. But 2 days a week, we still put on the gi. I'm a purple belt, but one thing about me, and this isn't being arrogant or whatever, but I've been competing for a long time. So last time I competed as a brown and a black belt. It's not to disrespect the belt system that I kind of don't promote myself. I don't have anyone promoting at the moment, so I can't really, not purposely sandbagging, you know, but I can't promote myself.
I was going to say, if you entered a tournament as a purple belt, I would definitely call you a sandbagger.
Yeah, I've been kind of avoiding the gi side of the competition thing just because I have to actually wear the belt. So most of the time when I've been competing as of late, it's just been no gi stuff because, you know, no one's wearing a belt then.
That's funny, man. So talk to me about your MMA record. I mean, knowing that you wanted to do it, is the record that Tapology has correct? I mean, did you do 3 amateur fights in 2017 and then didn't turn pro till 2020?
Yes, exactly. So like I said, I was at a gym before that was jiu-jitsu based, and that's actually where I had my amateur career, all 3 of those fights. So knocked those out. If you look, it was kind of similar. Like, I fought in March, fought in April, so it was a pretty quick tear. You know, that was supposed to be my first tear, to be the prototype of what I've done this, you know, the past 8-9 months of my life. That was the prototype. That was my first turn. And I was doing great, and I ended up having a bunch of babies. And, well, two babies back-to-back, and that can definitely slow you down in the fight game. So we started worrying about the financial side of things, trying to get a house together, put a life together for them, because I do love fighting, but at the amateur level and the regional scene, it wasn't really going to pay for two munchkins right off the bat. But yeah, I did awesome. I had that gap, and to be honest, I wasn't really sure if I was going to ever turn pro or if it was just going to kind of stop there. And time went on. I spent 3 years away, did, you know, had an awesome time with my family, got to focus on them, but there's always, there's a passion, obviously. There was something that I was missing, something I had stepped away from, something was, it was hurting me. It was time away, and it was bothering me. I felt like there was something, some stones left unturned. I'd watch the UFC fights like everybody else and sit there and watch a couch. And you know, you get those guys like, oh, I could do that. I could do that, you know. And I actually did. I brushed myself off 3 years later, got back in the gym, and I'm doing so far so good doing exactly what I was. I was one of those guys sitting on the couch. I could do that. I could do that. And as of yet, it's been working out. So fingers crossed it keeps going going the way I'm saying it. But yeah, dude, that's basically the story. A little break and got back to it. And luckily, seems like I haven't missed a beat.
That is awesome. So what's the feel been like during this? I mean, this is like some kind of like Cinderella run or something, right? I mean, you were gone from the sport, and now you get back to it. I mean, has this been just a pretty exciting time for you?
So, yes. Yeah, so the in-between, super boring. Obviously, it's only exciting when it's exciting. So, you know, in a three-month span, so I'm on the regional scene. I fight more often, but, you know, on the big leagues, even worse. I'm going to fight one time, one night, and it's going to be super exciting for about a week. And then we're going to go back to the gym, and it's going to be super boring, and I'm going to have people hitting me up. What are you doing? What are you doing? I'm like, nothing, same as last week. Absolutely nothing. But, yes, the excitement, when it is exciting, is insane. So, like I said, I had my first pro fight under CFFC, and those lights are way brighter than any other regional promotion. You know, obviously, we understand that's a feeder into the UFC. So it's not, it's beneath UFC, but it's 10 steps above anything I had ever seen before that. So that alone was huge. And it was four fights in 8 months that I won. And now I'm sitting here on the phone with, you know, John Morgan. I mean, you know, what do you mean? This is crazy.
That's awesome, man. So let me ask, I mean, obviously supporting a family. I mean, are you able to fight full time, or do you have to balance work as well?
No, yeah, I still work. I still have my day job, so I still work. I work for the U-Haul repair company, so shout out my awesome boss, John. He gives me the days off when I need them, you know, when I need to do things for medicals or when I need to get to these shows. And, you know, with COVID testing, usually requires more days off.
That's awesome. All right, so talk about this matchup, man. DeAndre Anderson, you know, hey, another undefeated guy. He's actually a little younger than you, so maybe he's even the newer kid on the block. You know what I mean? What do you know about DeAndre, and what do you think about the matchup itself?
I love it. So, like I said, CFFC set me up. Last fight, I was 3-0. They gave me a 3-0. That mystique, that undefeated mystique, that's something special. Even my family at home, like, when a guy comes in and they have zero losses, it's an eerie feeling, like, oh, like, it almost feels like it can't be done. But you know, obviously I bring that same mystique, but I love that we're finding these fighters for me. That's huge. So you, all too often I could be set up against 2s and 1s and 1 and 3 year, you know, whatever terrible record, whatever terrible guy, whatever random guy they're going to find, but they're finding these studs. So what I know about him, I will stalk my opponents like no other. So I'll listen to any podcast that he's been on, things like that. He said that he had originally started off as a football player, so I know he's going to be athletic. He realized soon that he wasn't going to get the size that he needed to really be competitive and that fast and in that type of game. Flipped it to wrestling, and I guess down there in Alabama, he has at least one state title, I know for sure. So he said he was a state champion wrestler, so I'm taking that as his base style, which is an excellent base style. And he's also got a bunch of boxing fights, so he is well-rounded. He's trying other things. And I really think that people learn, like, I didn't really learn wrestling until I stepped out of the gi and put on the wrestling shoes. So that's when I really learned wrestling. So I'm going to expect him to come in with a really good, like, legitimate boxing style, because he really did. He laced up the boxing gloves. He didn't, you know, everyone boxes in the gym, in the MMA gym against other kickboxers, but to legitimately put on the gloves and go do professional boxing fights is a completely different story. You're really diving into the culture there. So I know he's going to be heavy in wrestling. I know he's going to be heavy in boxing. I'm assuming he's going to use his wrestling defensively and try to stuff any takedowns and avoid the ground. I'm assuming that at this point in the game that everybody's going to try to avoid the ground. It's pretty clear what my style is going to be. It's pretty clear what my approach is going to be. And yeah, I'm not gonna shy away from the gunfight. If we want to stand up, then we will stand up. But yes, my game plan is to eventually get him to the ground and do some of that aggressive grappling that I like to do, get my position and get my submission.
I love it, man. Well, this would certainly be a big win. And like I said, I mean, it's just a huge year for you. So talk to me about the goal, man. I mean, a win here. Are we talking about, you know, calling for the CFFC title? Are we talking about, you know, already looking at like Contender Series or the UFC? I mean, that would be a super quick ride. I mean, do you feel like you're ready for that? Or is there little steps in between? What's the plan?
The approach thus far has been a sprint. So I'm going to say we're going to stick with that theme, that it's going to be a sprint. We're trying to go to the top as fast as we can. But reasonably fast. So my next step, I'm still keeping my head kind of right at my peers where I'm at right now. So I think the next step, if I do get this win, which I will get this win, the next step would be for a title shot. I see a lot of awesome 145ers on the card with me. Reggie Adams on the card. Devontae Sewell is a guy that my opponent had fought twice before. He was a good opponent. Who are the other two? Timothy Kwamba and James Lyons. I'm super excited about that fight. From a spectator's point and from a competitive point, I'm excited to see who's going to take that one. But yeah, I'm guessing they're trying to make sense of this 145 division now that Pat Sabatini's up in the big show and trying to figure out who's ready for the title shot. And I definitely am going to take this as an opportunity to try to prove that I'm one of those guys that I need to be in the red corner for that fight.
I love it. I love it, man. Well, listen, it's been fun to watch what you've accomplished already, man. So I'm looking forward to this fight. Any other, you know, last thoughts, messages, anything like that? You want to make sure that we get out there for people?
No, I just really want to let you know I appreciate talking to you. Little starstruck. So like I said, this has been short, you know, 8 months. I haven't had the opportunity to do a lot of interviews and talk to too many people, but it's really an honor. It really is. It's pretty cool to talk to you. It's really, I was nervous all day.
That's awesome, man. Well, I appreciate it, dude. It's been fun to watch you so far, man. You definitely caught my attention when you were out there calling to your corner, just asking him which submission you wanted to finish with. I was like, this kid's got some swag, man. I like this.
Man, that's really what I'm trying to do. Trying to go through, trying to be respectful of my opponents, but definitely trying to show that I got something special.
All right, Jose Perez there. Too kind to have some respect for me there as well. I did appreciate that. Now, man, again, this kid's grappling skills are off the charts. But now we got a little bit of a stylistic matchup here, right? DeAndre Anderson is coming to us from King of the Cage, making his CFFC debut, and he's going to try to do it with a big splash here in the main event on Fight Pass. And as Jose Perez mentioned, you know, he's done some professional boxing as of late. And so this, you know, could be a little bit of a clash of styles, although you'll hear a little bit more with my conversation with DeAndre about, you know, kind of why he was doing the boxing. I don't think that's necessarily where he thinks he'll have a professional career. He likes MMA, but it was an opportunity for him to stay busy. Basically, he had won a $100,000 contract from King of the Cage. But King of the Cage has been hit hard by COVID. They haven't really been able to hold events. So since they haven't been able to hold events, he hasn't been able to get fights. And so he hasn't been able to collect on you know, the vast majority of that $100,000. So fortunately, you know, they let him stay busy with boxing. And now I don't know the full details if they've terminated his contract or just letting him fight outside of it right now. But fortunately, you know, they're letting him get some action. By the way, before we play DeAndre Anderson, hopefully you heard that mention from Jose Perez about Tim Kwamba and James Lyons as well. That's also a featherweight fight. So featherweight main event and then another featured fight at featherweight in Tim Kwamba and James Lyons. That's a solid fight as well, man. I'm telling you, CFSC, and of course I'm biased because I'm a part of the promotion, but I'm telling you, they do a phenomenal job in matching up fights. And so anyway, I was super high on Jose Perez, but I wanted to talk to DeAndre Anderson as well. And, man, after I had my conversation with DeAndre Anderson, now I'm, like, hoping for a draw or something. here's what DeAndre Anderson had to say when we spoke. Well, listen, man, let's just get into it, dude. I mean, big fight, UFC Fight Pass, couple undefeated young prospects going at it, man. What's the feel right now? Is it feeling like a big fight for you?
So this is probably my biggest fight. I mean, this is definitely my biggest fight. This is probably the one that, like, I actually get excited for, you know. I fought against a lot of people that were supposed to be good, but then they turned out not to be as good as I expect. But I think that Jose is going to – I think he's going to be a good challenge for me. It'll be good to see what I'm actually made out of, you know, because I haven't gotten to test myself like that in MMA yet. So I'm excited for that one.
No question. Talk to me about the layoff from MMA, man. I mean, I know you've been doing a little bit of boxing as well, and obviously COVID, I'm sure, hasn't made things easy. But I mean, your first fight in MMA since 2019, was that by design or by decision, or was that just kind of circumstances of what's been happening?
It's more just circumstances. So I was with King of the Cage, and, you know, I had a big contract, did all that, and COVID hit, and then they didn't have any shows for – they haven't even had a show since that whole ordeal. And I had also wanted to fight more anyways than what I was getting offered with them anyway. So, you know, it ended up being a blessing in disguise that I ended up getting out of that contract to be able to fight with CFFC and be on this stage because, you know, I'm ready to be on that next level. And I think that fights like this will get me seen and get me noticed more than what I had been previously doing. So, I mean, I did all this boxing stuff just to pass the time because I was in kind of, you know, a tough spot with the contracts and everything, not being able to fight because I had to get released and everything before I could do that. So I'm just, I'm excited that I actually get to fight MMA now.
That's
this is what I really do, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah, you had that big $100,000 contract, right? So did you not see all the $100,000 yet?
Man, I ain't seen – I seen – definitely ain't seen $100,000 yet. I wish I had, man. I wish I had. I would be living a little bit different right now, you know, but it's a blessing that, you know, I was able to be put on that stage at such a young age, though, you know. Whenever you got $100,000 attached to your name when you're, you know, 20 years old is still nice, you know, before you even make a pro debut. So it was nice to, you know, have that attached to my name, but I would have loved to actually have the $100,000.
I bet. Well, talk to me. I mean, like you said, so you've been kind of in limbo in terms of being able to fight. What's training been like? I mean, have you been training this whole time, or did you take some time off? I mean, I know it's got to be a little tough to be, you know, game ready if you know you don't have a fight lined up.
Yeah, so the thing that is really – so last year I just had my daughter. So it's actually been almost a year now. At the end of this month, on the 31st, will be her first birthday.
Oh, congrats.
So, yeah, so I just was – all of last year, I was just kind of – I was hoping that I'll get a fight, but didn't really know because COVID and all the contract stuff, and I was just like, you know, let me take this boxing stuff, you know. I ended up getting a fight against Jahai Tucker in the on Top Rank, which that was like a crazy fight for me, fighting against somebody at that skill level. Such like I never fought a striker like that. You know, you normally don't get that type of experience in an MMA fight with strikers.
Right.
You know, a guy that was supposed to be in the Olympics, that has all this hype behind him. I was lucky enough to be his first fight,
wow,
you know, as a pro. So, I mean, it's been super tough on me not being able to do MMA. But I've been just training this whole time. The boxing stuff has really, like, helped me out a lot with just keeping the competition mode going.
Sure.
But I didn't really get back into MMA training until my job. I got fired on Christmas Eve of last year.
What?
And I have just worked my ass off the whole time, just training ever since then. Because I had to take about 2 months off because I couldn't make any money because I wasn't fighting. So, you know, I took 2 months off from training and I had just been working, you know. And that kind of put me in a tough spot mentally and physically. I was definitely not where I needed to be. But once I got fired, I decided that I wasn't going to work for anybody. I was just going to commit myself to my dream because, you know, the only person that has to believe in you is you. And me going into moving furniture isn't helping me with my MMA career, so I didn't really care about it anymore. I just wanted to focus on myself. If I was going to be broke, I'm going to be broke doing something that I know is going to benefit me in the long run. So I just been training my ass off for all year. Actually, like, I've rarely missed out on training for this whole year. So I've been getting ready for a fight for a very long time.
That's awesome.
I just now get to do it late in the year.
That's awesome. How do you get fired on Christmas Eve? What soulless human being would fire somebody on Christmas Eve?
Man, it was a crazy situation. So, I get back from break and everybody's leaving out. You know, because most people get off of work early on Christmas Eve. It's actually my daughter's first Christmas Eve and stuff. So I'm like, yeah, I'm about to get off early. Then the guy was like, hey, we got this delivery. And it's like 5 minutes before we're supposed to leave. Then it's an hour away from where I'm supposed to be, out of our range of deliveries and everything. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. Like, can you please not do this? Like, this is my daughter's first Christmas Eve. And then I was just like, you know what? I'm just not going to, like, you're going to have to fire me. Cause I can't do this. Like, I'm not missing out on something that's so important to me.
Absolutely.
You know? That's that whole situation. It sucked, but I mean, it was definitely like, I didn't really care at that point. I was ready to get going with my fight and stuff anyways. Probably would have quit anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
That's awesome. So talk to me about this year then. So, I mean, no work at all? Or are you trying to, like, work? Are you making some money in the gym at all? Or how are you getting by?
Man, I'm just – I got sponsors that are helping me out. I got friends and family. I have people that believe in me just like I believe in myself. So they helped me out a lot. I actually got into selling Pokemon cards and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, like it's – and I've been hustling. I got to make some type of money to pay my bills, but I also got to be able to train as much as possible. You know, I had to start finding crazy ways to make money just to be able to do what I need to do with my training. So, I mean, it's been tough, but I've been making it through.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, talk about the matchup, man. It sounds like, you have a lot of respect for Jose and what he's done already. You know, you think he's going to be a fair test. I mean, do you think this is going to be a grappling-type bout? I know you come from a kind of a wrestling background, and he's a grappler at heart. I mean, are you expecting this to be a grappling contest? Or, do you want to go out there and throw hands, especially after this boxing you've been doing?
Honestly, it's one of those things, like, for me, it all depends on which me comes out that day. It depends on how I feel. I don't really worry about too much what he can do. I know that he's really good on the ground. Like, he has cool submissions, but I have those too. Like, I won by inverted triangle, put the guy to sleep in my last MMA fight. So, I mean, he has a banana split. That's pretty cool. But, I mean, that's not anything crazier than what I've been able to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, he has a whole bunch of a hype because he was able to, like, everybody's seen that. Like, I mean, I've seen that on CFFC's page and all that. And I was like, man, that's so cool. Like, I mean, I haven't done that in a fight, you know, but I mean, I've spent 13 years of my life grappling. Like, that is over half of my life. It's, you know, some people think that I'm a striker now just because I do all this boxing and everything, but I mean, I'm a wrestler, man. The mentality is what I took from wrestling, and definitely the takedowns. But I train at a jiu-jitsu gym. I'm ready for anything. Like, it doesn't really – my whole game plan is to go out there and put on a show and get to the next level of my career. It doesn't matter how I get the job done. I'm hoping I get a finish, though. That'd be nice.
No doubt. Well, you talk about that next level. I mean – you know, you're still a young guy, obviously. I mean, time is on your side, but I know you don't want to be broke forever either, so you want to get to that next level. But so what's the plan? I mean, you win here, or you're like, are you already, you know, with your hand in the air saying, UFC, give me a call? Or do you feel like, you know, go for the title in CFFC, kind of keep developing? What's the overall plan?
The plan is honestly to go down to 35. And so I would love to go into the UFC, like, immediately after this, because, I mean – the only loss I have is to somebody in the UFC and MMA. So, you know, I feel like I'm on that level. I feel like I can compete with those guys. But if people, you know, don't think I'm ready for that right now, then I'll go and take somebody's belt or, you know, take a couple more belts. It doesn't really matter to me. I know that if I win and I keep winning, then I'll get there. My goal is to get to the UFC and then continuously, like, stay in the UFC. I don't want to be one of those, you know, get there, three fights, and then I'm out, and then I'm fighting, you know, on the regional circuit again. That's not what I want to do. Once I get in, I want to stay in. So if my people don't feel like I'm ready, then that's fine. But, you know, I can take my time, but I would definitely love to get that paycheck because I know as soon as I get in there, I'm getting me a performance bonus. So I already know that I will. I mean, I'm an exciting fighter. As long as they put me in there with somebody that's willing to do the exact same thing I'm willing to do, and that's die for it, then, you know, that's when fireworks happen.
Man, hard to argue with that. That's the way to put it. So 35, are you going to wait till you're in the top level to go to 35, or do you still want to maybe get a 35 fight or two on the regional stage?
I mean, I've had a fight at 130. So I've actually went 30, my pro debut, 35, had a catch weight at 40, went up to 45. It was just because I didn't feel like cutting, honestly.
Right.
But now that I'm in a gym, I'm actually training. Like, I used to train like twice a week, like maybe like a total of 4 hours a week, and I would still be beating people. Which that's horrible to say, but I didn't really, you know, it's very hard to take some people serious, you know, because I competed at a high level with, and the people that I train with, like, I know what level I'm on, you know, so. Seeing some other people, it's not like that I don't respect them. It's that, like, I'm young. Like, when I was, you know, 19, 20, I didn't really care about training. I wanted to go out and party, and then I would go train. Then I might be out like that, you know, week before, and then I go train a couple weeks to make the weight cut. But now I actually take this serious. I mean, once you have a daughter that, and, you know, you got people that depend on you, it starts to set in that you really have to, you know, not have any type of excuses that you can make for yourself. You have to really put it all on the line now. So every single moment I'm just out there just going crazy just for my family.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well said. Well, listen, man, I'm looking forward to this fight. I think it's going to be a great one. Definitely looking forward to seeing you in there. Any last thoughts, messages, anything like that you want to make sure we get out there for you?
I just want to thank all my sponsors, Civilized Savage Clothing. I want to thank Heroes Roofing. I would like to thank Stay Gold Tattoo. Good Lord, there's a lot of people that support me. the Darby Johnson Agency. They're licensed in a ridiculous amount of states. I can't tell you exactly how many because I just know it's a lot. And then Alpha Omega Fightwear. It's my friend's company. He just started up. I have some cool shorts that I'm wearing for this fight that he hooked up for us at Cobra and, well, Cobra Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, because those are my people. That's my team. That's who I'm repping. And thank you to the whole state of Alabama because they always support me. No matter where I go, I got that flag on my back and I'm repping Bama. So that's all I got to say. Thank you for having me on here, too. This is a cool platform. So I'm excited every time I get to do interviews and stuff like this.
Man, how are you going to fire somebody on Christmas Eve? Huh? That ain't right. I want to cheer for this guy just for that. That's just absolutely not right. But no, man, I liked hearing, you know, DeAndre talk about the sacrifice that it takes to make it on the regional level, man. It is not possible to support yourself financially, really, especially on the, you know, the lower tier regional shows. So, you know, the fact that he's willing to make that sacrifice and in hopes of making it to the big time, man. Respect that. That's your main event for CFFC 99. So tune in on Fight Pass. Hashtag Pliev is there. Remember the man who had his finger severed 4 months ago? He's already back fighting again. Can you believe that? And he's facing a veteran in Nashawn Burrell. Certainly you'll know that name from UFC, Bellator, Strikeforce. I mean, he fought everywhere. So Pliev originally lost that fight by TKO. It was overturned to a no contest when it was determined that his opponent kind of pulled his glove over the finger, which ended up creating the tension, which, still one of the most bizarre scenes I've ever seen in my life, man. It was crazy. Crazy. And that dude is tough, man. He didn't even flinch. Like, the facial expression didn't even change, man. It was pretty unbelievable. So, yeah, anxious to get out there. Even if it did, throw off our schedule a little bit this week, I'm anxious to get out there. Work with my man CM Punk. I will definitely be trying to get the scoop on the AEW reports. I'm all caught up on my wrestling references now. Joe from H-Town set me up last week over in Houston, got me all caught up. Matt Wells, who was with me as well, you know, he has a little bit of AEW knowledge as well, so they got me all caught up. And hell, I've actually been watching a couple episodes of Dark Side of the Ring, man. I don't know if y'all are going to turn me into a full-fledged wrestling fan, but I'm studying up a little bit at least. If my man CM Punk is going back to wrestling, I'll be honest, I'll have to watch at that point. I'll have a vested interest to want to tune in and watch about that. So we'll see. We'll see if we can get the scoop. I have a feeling I'm not going to get the scoop. CM Punk is pretty good about just giving you the cold shoulder and no commenting. And, obviously, if he's getting involved, I'm sure it must be a big money deal. So, we'll see how it all plays out. Anyway, that is your special Tuesday night edition of the MMA Roadshow. We wouldn't leave you high and dry, and we got to keep the streak alive. And I think if it's even on a different day, it still counts. We're bringing you solid content, right? It still counts. 333 consecutive weeks without fail. We're here for you. Enjoy the weekend. No and a half this week because there is no UFC event. But do me a favor. Tune in to Fight Pass Saturday night, CFFC 99. Obviously, you got a busy night on Friday night. MMA Junkies got on-site coverage. We got y'all covered. But definitely tune in on UFC Fight Pass Saturday night, okay? In the meantime, thanks for listening.